Sunday, March 13th, 2011. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com. And today we're going to talk about how to avoid being the pigeonholed vendor. Now, we got lots to cover, and as always, I want to get right down to business with you. I have 10 tips to help you through this little predicament. But first, you need a definition. You need me to define, what in the heck am I talking about when I say a pigeonholed vendor? Now, trust me, you may not have heard of the expression before, but you have either been in this situation, or I promise you, you are going to be in this type of situation in the future. Now, just by way of definition, this whole business of becoming a pigeonholed vendor is when you have several products and services that you could be offering to your customer, but instead they only turn to you for one of those products or services, but yet they continue to buy these things from other people. In other words, they've kind of pigeonholed you or labeled you as their vendor for A. But meanwhile, there's all these other things that you offer, and it's such a bad situation to be in. Because on one hand, you don't want to be this walking, talking, horrible epitome of a bad infomercial. And on the other hand, you don't want to keep your mouth shut and miss out on this opportunity while your competitor keeps coming to eat your lunch. So today, again, we've got 10 tips. Let's get down to business. Now, the way I always like to start some of these lists that I offer you would be by getting you into the proper mindset. So the proper mindset here, if you ask me, starts from the word go. In other words, you're shaking hands with them, you're about to do business with that customer. From the word go, you have to initiate a well thought out, keep the client informed campaign. Just kind of a good keep in touch, but keep them informed campaign. And truth be told, most salespeople that I begin to work with when they come to me for coaching, they really haven't thought that part out. They might have thought out everything leading up to the marriage, right? That courtship that I always talk about. But now we're married. Now what? What do we do to keep working at that marriage? And how do we keep them informed of all these other things that we do? Again, without becoming that bad epitome of an infomercial. So a lot of people don't think of that. So they see to kind of go by seat of your pants, which doesn't work out too well. So again, the first thing that I want you to do is begin with the proper mindset. Think this out. And I don't want you ever calling people to quote unquote check in with them. That's just lame. And it's lame because too many people do it. And I want you to be different. I want you to stand out. And again, it's a lot of little things. It's not just one big thing that we're trying to teach you. It's a lot of little things that when you combine them, man, it makes a huge, huge difference for you and your personal brand. So again, it begins with the proper mindset. The proper mindset is one where you're going to think it out. How are you going to keep them informed? My first tip for you is what I call the Amazon.com strategy. And what the Amazon.com strategy is, if you've ever bought a book or any kind of a product from Amazon.com, they do this brilliantly, by the way, you will get an email at some point, and it's not salesy. It's actually very helpful. They're never a pest, which is a key to this stuff. And what the email basically says is that, and again, I'm probably taking a lot of liberties in how I describe this. There's probably a better way to describe it. But really, in essence, what they're doing is they're saying people that bought A found value in B. And what they're doing is they're just telling you of a similar product. You could do the same thing too. And you can think about your clients and you can, again, I don't know that I would advise you sending an email, but you can communicate to them somehow that people who have perhaps bought this particular product or service have also found value in this type of product or service, and you offer them something else. And you can base that on things that you've seen typically in a particular industry, companies of a similar size, similar amounts of employees, similar challenges, similar opportunities. So I want you to think about that. Again, the first suggestion I have for you is more along the lines of an Amazon.com approach. The next suggestion that I have for you is one of those things, and I've talked about this with you before, where you have to really put this one in your journal. All of these things, I hope, make your journal, but you need to put the little arrows and the over here dude signs and little stars and stuff on the page so that you can capture the importance of this next message. The next thing that I want to point out to you is that a lot of salespeople drop the ball on something. Most people, I hope, are very good with their pre-call planning when it's time for the courtship. Again, what I mean by courtship is I am hopefully getting you to the point as my prospect where you're going to want to marry me. And during that courtship, we will engage in good, meticulous pre-call planning. And as part of that pre-call planning, we really have our ear and our eyes on the internet. We have Google alerts. We're checking their website, if they blog. We're keeping up on those things, Twitter, social networking, social media, so on and so forth. But what I see is that once we get married, people stop with that, or they don't do it as much because they have them as a customer. Or maybe what they're doing is maybe they feel their time is better spent doing all those activities on people that they're hunting, so to speak, or other people that are in the courtship phase and not the marriage. It's a huge mistake for a lot of reasons. One is that your information, because just due to the fact that business is moving at the speed of light, has become antiquated. And what happens now is that your competitors, who are no doubt trying to take that business from you, the way you probably took it from someone else, they have the most relevant, up-to-date data, if you will. So you never want to be in that situation. But now, in terms of getting out of that pigeonhole status, if you continue to monitor that account by perhaps signing up for the RSS feeds, and you're, you know, again, if you prefer Google Alerts, and just keeping an eye on things. Now, when something happens in their world, in their industry, at their company, things that what we call are good trigger events, now you can have a really good, relevant discussion with them by tying in one of your products or services that they're going to have a higher probability of wanting to embrace. So that is very, very good strategy for you. Again, that's a testimonial for just continuing to keep up with that pre-call planning and monitoring your customers. Don't ever forget that, again, business moves at the speed of light. Just in the 6-7 minutes that you've been on this podcast, something has changed with one of your clients somewhere. It could be a dramatic change, or it could be something very, very slight, but you have to stay up to date and relevant. Let's move on. The next thing, you've heard me say this before, putting in a PS into your auto signature on your emails. Again, a PS. The beauty of a PS, well, first let me explain really how you would orchestrate this. In your auto signature, again, you may sign it like I do, respectfully, Paul Castain, but hopefully you put your name in there, not Paul Castain. That would be kind of freaky. And what you would do is just include a PS. And put the PS in bold so that the I would go to it. Maybe use a different font size, right? That kind of thing. And what you're going to do is put PS, and you're either going to put ask me about, and you're going to fill in the blank about a particular product or service, or how we've been able to help companies with A, B, and C, maybe a little teaser type of thing. Or you could just simply put another type of message. Again, it could be an ask me about. It could be a did you know type of thing, but use the PS. Now, here's a challenge that I have for you. Again, I told you, I want you to be with the proper mindset, which is planning these things out and have a well-orchestrated campaign. What I want you to do is, my challenge to you is to create at least 6 of these. And what I want you to do, a critical component of the PS, is that you continue to train the recipient's eye to go to the PS. Now, if you continue to use the same PS, you're going to train them and condition them not to go there because it's, yeah, I know the message, man. It's been the same freaking message for 3 months. Why would I go look at the same thing again? So if you're changing it out, which I really recommend every 2 weeks, don't ever go more than a month with the PS in there. Again, the eye is not going to be trained to go there. And my challenge to you is to create 6 of these and then take it a step further. What I would invite you to do is turn to your sales team or turn to some of your sales buddies that you have in your network And ask them to do the same thing and exchange these things and maybe compile a document with all these things in it. Companies that have large sales forces, this is a great exercise for you to do. Everybody can email it in or at your next sales meeting, sales managers. This is a great little assignment that you could have everybody do. Create a PS, explain it to them the way I just explained it to you. And if you compile this, how cool would it be if you could have maybe 50 or 60 different PS messages and everybody just has a great arsenal of these PS to use and just choose your new weapon every 2 weeks. So that's the whole concept of a PS. The next one is, I'm going to file this next one under easier said than done, webinars, lunch and learns, ebooks, those types of things. Anything where you can educate your clients, because again, I wish I could tell you that everybody has Paul Castain on the brain. They don't. I for my ego, it would be wonderful. And if you're someone that's buying my services, I would love for that to be the case. Reality, it's really not the way it goes. So I need to do things to continually educate you and at the same time keep me top of mind. So one of the best soft selling measures or methods, if you will, of informing people of the other things you do is showing them additional ways to use your products or services and just, again, getting them in tune with the different things that you do. And again, I say it's easier said than done. Financially, these things don't have to cost a lot of money. Many of these things can be free. But it's easier said than done because a lot of people choose not to invest the time. This, to me, is a wonderful value-added service that you can offer your clients. Value-added and adding value, that kind of stuff, to me is one of those overused phrases in sales. It's like consultant or resource. A lot of people are quick to say it, but they don't demonstrate it. And demonstrating is always so much more powerful than just saying something. So this is how you can truly add value to your clients. Again, these are the things that are going to help competitor-proof your business, but also these are the things that once you educate people, educating is so much different and more effective when you think of it than actually having to sell somebody on something because they've bought it on their own. They've connected the dots on their own. But your job as the educator is just to facilitate that experience. So please don't ever forget that. Let's move on. The next thing, one of my favorite things, and if you're in my network, you know that I truly practice what I preach. Every 4 to 6 weeks, you want to send a brand agnostic resource. A brand agnostic resource is basically a resource, whether it's an article or a website or something that can help their business, that when I say brand agnostic, meaning that every single time it's not saying me, 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 or my company, and over here, and infomercial time. Now, you might be thinking, how in the heck, then, if I'm sending brand agnostic resources, can that help me sell more? Well, because if you're doing that on a regular basis, there's nothing wrong with sprinkling in some additional resources from your company. You need to be a part of that, too. But what I fear is that if you're constantly going into infomercial mode every 4 to 6 weeks, again, you might be conditioning people to kind of not even open that email. So every 4 to 6 weeks, send out that brand agnostic resource. Just make sure that you have some resources in there that also speak to the things that you do. Let's move on. Next, one of my favorite things, and truth be told, these are all my favorite things because it's my content, damn it. The next thing is what I call a findings and solutions sheet. What a findings and solutions sheet is, it really allows you to be one of those words, again, that we overuse just to no end in sales, a true consultant. A true consultant is always looking at things that can be improved upon in a business. And when I say improved upon, it could be either, again, two big categories, helping people acquire things that are going to represent opportunities for the company, or helping people avoid things that could be disastrous for a company, or different degrees of disastrous, if you will. It doesn't have to be some epic event, but things that are just not good for the business. So what you're going to do with the findings and solutions sheet is you're going to have a few findings. And findings could be, let's just say you're my customer and I'm creating a findings and solutions sheet. And again, you come to me for training services because that's what I do for a living. Now, one of my findings might be is that your sales force is not getting enough market share in the local market. So that could be one of my findings. Then I'm going to offer one of my services or a solution, if you will, that speaks to my finding. You get the point. And again, I never do more than two or three. because I find if I do like some big 12-page report, people are too busy for that nonsense right now. So I'd be very careful with it. So what I do is, again, I would rather give you a tidbit every once in a while, or a potato chip, if you will, make you hungry, make you want to go for that whole bag of potato chips. And again, it's just a better way to kind of ramp up into that discussion. Next, have some fun and get creative. That's another thing, too. People need creative solutions to very real problems, very real challenges these days. So what I would invite you to do is have some fun and just really embrace your creativity. Some of the things you can do, again, I'm not going to quit my day job and become some creative guru, but how about a cool top 10 list? Or maybe three things you may not be aware of that we do. A good, effective Did You Know campaign, things like that. Next, this one dates back. I remember hearing about this when I was a little kid in the 70s, and it was the old puppy dog close. The puppy dog close, by the way, is actually a very effective closing technique. And the whole, for those of you who don't know what the puppy dog close is, the puppy dog close, and I want you to picture you're into pets, and you could do this with anything, obviously, but this is where it's kind of coined. And you go to a pet store, and you just fall in love with this little puppy, but you're not sure if you want to buy it. The owner of the pet store says, you know what, why don't you take this puppy home for a week and make your decision then? You know damn well what's going to happen at the end of the week. You're going to fall in love with that little puppy unless it chews up your carpet or something. And that's the point here, that if you can get people to get ownership of your product in their hands for a 30-day free trial, or perhaps you can upgrade them for a certain period of time, a one-time upgrade, things like that, when people experience it, it's very hard than to go back to the way things were because they're experiencing things at a higher level. That's a great thing to do. And with your clients, by the way, that is actually an awesome thing to do because they're a lower risk for you. People that aren't doing business with you yet, they're a higher risk, and it might be something where you're throwing money out the door. Keep it in mind. Next, I would make these types of discussions a periodic agenda item whenever you have your client visits. Again, unless you're visiting your client every other day, man, that could be a bit much. But most people I speak to, they're seeing their client maybe once a month. Some of them it's quarterly or whatever. And when I say seeing them, it might actually be a conference call or whatever. Make that an agenda item. Here's the point. It's like that every 4 to 6 week resource. It's like that PS. You want to condition people to expect certain things from you. You never want to come out of left field. So if they can expect that part of your visit with them is that maybe you'll go through the service, you'll go through additional questions, maybe a new, fresher approach to your needs analysis, because again, times have changed. They know over time that this is what you do, they expect it. So keep that in mind too. Again, keep them updated. Here's another thing that a lot of people miss out on, and we're almost done, by the way. I would take full advantage of your status updates on LinkedIn, on Twitter, and Facebook. A lot of people don't know how to use them properly, and the big joke is, but it's actually quite true, some people get involved in too much play-by-play. For example, I'm at this place, right, with those Foursquare updates that can kind of get on everybody's nerves. Or even like the big joke with Twitter, sometimes people say, you know, I'm eating this for lunch or whatever it is, which really isn't the case unless you're following somebody who's just an imbecile. But the point is that some people don't use their status updates to their full advantage. This is something that you can put in your status updates every once in a while, and we'll get back to that in a second. You could put a little Did You Know in there, or you could put Ask Me About, and you could put something in there that could be very, very helpful. The key to this, folks, is that you don't want to overkill. Again, we never want to make this into an infomercial. In other words, the opposite of this would be if I follow you and every other update from you is a buy from me message. Well, that's going to get old and boring real fast. Again, you want to be a resource. But if you sprinkle it in every now and again, it is a great way to generate a dialogue. And that's really all we want as a salesperson, as the starting point, right, is to get that dialogue. Because most of us, once we can get that conversation with somebody who is interested, we can take that to new and better levels. So keep that in mind. And the final thing that I want you to think about is, don't forget your blogging efforts and the articles and things on your website to keep people posted of these things. A bit of advice for you there. You can talk about it all day long, and there's nothing wrong with you doing it every once in a while, But I would suggest that if you have any opportunities for your clients to talk about it, if they've got a good war story, a great time, by the way, to get a war story from somebody is when they're telling you, you know, you did such a great job. Thank you so much. You guys came through with this 11-hour miracle for us. See, right at that time, when they're feeling that level of gratitude and everybody's just in that moment, that's a great time for you to ask them, hey, would you mind putting some of your thoughts in writing? Because to tell you the truth, man, I'd love to have more clients like you. This is what I do. And the more people that know of the things that I can do for my clients, well, then just the better it is for everybody. And we certainly want to get the word out. Can I ask that of you? And the worst somebody could ever say is no. I've asked it of many people in different ways, shapes, and forms. And I've never had anybody get insulted. It's not an out-of-line question to ask. So again, the more types of messaging that you can have on your website and your blog of clients relating their experience, I think the better, because one thing we know now is that more and more of the buying process begins online. And even if you disagree that it begins online, more and more of it is going online. And it just depends on the buyer at what point they like to pop online and maybe check your reputation or check out your website. But one thing we know is that people love to either interact or hear from someone else's experience, because the way they look at us, I don't care how trustworthy you are, and this is not, please don't take it the wrong way, it's not a diss to our profession as sales professionals, it's reality, that sometimes it just works out a lot better if they're also hearing it from someone else, because they look at us and say, well, you're paid to say that. But now if we have a level of trust with them and now they're hearing it from customers, it is just a new and exciting version of a testimonial. So keep that in mind as well. So there you have it. We've got over 10 tips there to help you get out of that pigeonhole status. I don't want to hear about anybody after this being in that dreaded pigeonhole status. But here's the thing, folks. All of these tips are completely useless. And again, I'm not putting down my content. I didn't just make you sit through 21 minutes to tell you that I suck. But what I'm trying to tell you is that all of these things, if they sit in your journal or if they sit in your head or if they sit on your iPod or however you listen to this message today, if they sit there, they're worthless. You have to do something with it. So my advice is you got a lot of work here. You got a lot of things to chew on. Start with one thing. It's always easy to start with one action. So again, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. I'm inviting you to do a few things today. The first thing is, if you found value in this podcast, please sign up for the free sales tips on YourSalesPlaybook.com. I'll never spam your inbox. I will never sell the list. Again, it's just me giving back to the sales community. Next, if you're on LinkedIn, you absolutely must stop by our group, Sales Playbook. We had just crossed the 20,000 member marker, and in fact we're about 20,500 members. No spam, just a lot of good best practices and discussions. And of course, if you check on our blog, there'll be information how you can stop by Facebook, like us on Facebook. Our Facebook community is now at 600 plus and we're growing rapidly, and I don't duplicate the content. That's one of the things I want to tell you, that sometimes we follow people and it's the same exact content on Twitter, same exact content in LinkedIn, and so on and so forth. You'll see some minor duplication, but there is incentive for you to follow on all of those venues, because you'll get different information and additional things, and you'll meet different people too for your network. So again, Paul Castain from Your Sales Playbook. I am wishing you an amazing week ahead.